American songwriter, my brother-in-law Sean Olbs of the Eiffels was able to talk to Black Fortune over Zoom video. This interview is amazing because Black Fortune, I think he's in an Uber, he's in a car. So it's very behind-the-curtain look at Black Fortune. He talks to Sean about where he was born and raised, growing up in Landover, Maryland, all about his new DMV collaboration, his new song, New Gucci Garment, which follows up his previous song and video for Horror Story. You can watch the interview with Sean Olbs of the Eiffels and Black Fortune from the car on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Black Fortune.
All right, everybody. We got Black Fortune here, and we are going to be talking about his new mixtape, Ushmob, which I'm stoked, and I've been listening to all weekend, actually. You said you're driving back from the airport, man. What's up?
Yeah, man, I'm just getting back in town. I just left my city.
Nice. Where are you?
I'm in L.A. now.
Oh, cool. I'm in L.A. myself right now, hanging out in Highland Park. So you just left you left LAX, and you're hanging out in L.A., or you're heading back to Maryland?
I'm in L.A. now. I'm heading to L.A.
Nice. So, I know you got the new mixtape Ushmob, and I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about, the whole language of Ush. But before we do, you mind taking us all the way back and just letting us know how you got into music?
All right, cool. So, boom. I made my first rap in the fifth grade. I had like a project where I had to rap about volcanoes and shit like that. So, my first rap doing that. I rapped about like plate tectonics and all that type of shit. Like, make a volcano erupt. And my rap was fire. My rap was so fire that they made me perform it for like 9 different classes. So after that, I figured, okay, I'm down like tight for rock, I could be a rapper. Then, 6th, 7th grade, 8th grade, maybe, I was like battling niggas in the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? Just rap battling motherfuckers like on like lunch break. And I used to crush everybody in the rap battles. All right, I might be doing something. Then maybe like 15, 16, I started actually recording shit, you know what I'm saying? And dropping it and going viral like in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's how I started.
So you're doing rap battles and killing it. And then did you link up with someone when you first started recording to make your beats, or were you making your own beats, or how did that go?
I was filming them on YouTube.
Posting
them? When I first started, I was just taking them off YouTube.
Oh, okay. Nice. What kind of stuff were you grabbing off YouTube when you first started?
I was typing like Biggie Smalls type beats, man. DMX nice. Type beats, man. You know, so I was typing all the old school type beats.
Yeah. So I was kind of reading up on you a little bit, and it said that you kind of, you switched up your style a little bit because you started with kind of a style closer to R&B, so it was a little smoother.
Yeah,
at first.
Yeah.
And then you transitioned to harder rap. What caused that change? Did you want something that kind of felt more yourself?
There you go. First, when I started rapping first, I started on the harder rap. And then, I was going up for a minute. It won't really get nowhere. I can sing too, so I'm like, shit, I can sing, so I'm gonna put my shit to use. You know what I'm saying? Let me try to do some R&B shit. So I started doing R&B. When I'm doing R&B, it's like, it wasn't really who I am as a person. Like, I'm not like a, R&B type of thing. Like, it ain't really my vibe. So, I could do it though. I could do it and I could make it make sense, but I'm not really like an R&B guy. Like, so. I started by rapping because it was just a couple.
Right. What made you want to experiment with R&B to begin with? Was it the ladies maybe? Were you trying to or what made you want to go in that direction at the beginning?
It was definitely for the ladies. You know what I'm saying? They always say you can make a lot of money doing R&B because there ain't too many people that can sing. Like, I know definitely not in my area, so it was like, I could do this R&B thing. It ain't too many people in this lane, so it's gonna be easy for me to take off. And I actually used to go viral. Like, I used to be in the hallways, like me and my niggas, I used to be in the hallways on some funny shit as a young nigga. And I'd be like grabbing the females up and I'd sing to them in the hallway, like, you know what I'm saying, on some young funny shit, bro. And she used to go viral, like on Vine and shit like that.
Right.
So one day I was doing it. I did it. I grabbed this little honey up and sang it to him. We playing around it like in the hallway. And the band goes so viral that I actually make a song out of the band that I was singing. It was a ritual piece, and the song went viral. Like I was popping around the area, you know, so I went up from it.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was listening to your newer stuff and I was noticing that you got a great sense of humor, and I was bobbing my head, but I was also laughing to a lot of the stuff that you had saying. So it sounds like you had a sense of humor in your style since the beginning. Where do you think that comes from?
Oh, the DMV. Man, the DMV, everybody joking me, joking around for, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody gotta have a sense of humor where I come from. We don't, niggas gonna cook. They gonna, you know what I'm saying? So you gotta be having some type of scene growing up out there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it makes it more fun to listen to, especially because, you know, you got some good upbeat stuff, and then you're kind of laughing along while you're having a good time.
Yes, it's a good little vibe.
So you kind of figure, hey, I want to do some harder rap, and then you start recording your own stuff, and you're grabbing beats off of YouTube, some old school Biggie, which is rad, and then how do you go from kind of, you know, just grabbing some beats off the internet to kind of developing your own beats and putting out your own music?
I was a kid of YouTube. He was making some hard beats. His name's Max. I tapped in with him. And I just like started making all my beats rhyme for, like, mainly for the Oosh Rock, like the Oosh Rock tape. And I started linking with like my boy Z's, my boy Rich, you know what I'm saying, Hurt Boy. And I started linking with more like, you know, upper echelon beat makers. And I started like helping them make my beats for them, you know. A lot of them, I put my hand into a lot of the beats that I got like on my projects, like, you know what I'm saying, like. I help make a lot of the beats that I be, you know, a lot of the beats that I be doing.
Right. Tell us a little bit about Oosh, because you know Oosh. you got Oosh Rock, you got the new mixtape Oosh Mob, and you know, so you consider it almost like a language. It's like your brand. So tell us what that encapsulates, what that means, where that comes from.
Oosh is a language. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of living. It's a swag, it's a culture thing, like, you know what I'm saying? Oosh really is like something that I created with my gang, with my niggas. We basically created, it's like a language where we can talk to each other. Really, it's like pig land for us. We need to talk to each other so the police will understand what we're saying. Like, if we ever get an interrogation or, you know what I'm saying, or if we don't want anybody to understand what we're saying, we talking our Oosh language. So it was created like that as kids, bro. And just kept it moving. It's really like my first language, bro.
Right. So how much of that, like, so a big fan of Black Fortune would start picking up on the Oosh, you know, slang though, right?
So
you got any favorite go-tos that we should know about?
My favorite word of the Oosh language is Oosh, of course, Ash Bluggity's Belugi or Swervianis. That's my favorite one. Swervianis is probably my favorite joke.
When do you use those?
Swerviani basically mean like bad bitches, like, you know what I'm saying, pretty females, you know what I'm saying, like some little swervy joints, you hear me? So you say something like, man, my man's about to link with these little swervalicious Swervianis and go up real fast, you know? You better link with some more bad pretty females, you know what I'm saying, turn up.
Yeah, all right, I'm gonna have to work some Oosh into the vocab then.
There you go.
So tell us about the mixtape, Oosh, because Oosh Mob, I'm sorry, the Fortune. Tell us about Oosh Mob, because I was listening to it.
Oosh,
okay, cool. I was listening to it over the weekend. Me and my fiance were cleaning up the condo, and I was bumping it because trying to get the vibe going before you and I spoke, and we were feeling it, man. So tell me a little bit about it. What it took to put this together, what it means, and what it means going forward.
Okay, here we go. Boom. So basically, this tape right here is basically, it's like unity, you know what I'm saying? It's like unity. We don't really got too much unity in my city, like everybody beefing, everybody, like, you know what I'm saying? People be too in their own world. People don't really be wanting to branch out and work other artists like that in the city. We just don't do that. We ain't the funniest motherfuckers. So me, basically, I'm like, fuck it, man. Everybody always say we want our city to be like Atlanta, like when it comes to like the unity and everybody coming up and artists being able to make something out of themselves in our city. So I'm like, I ain't never seen nobody put a whole tape together with like a couple like did with popular DMV artists and bridging that gap from DC to Maryland to Virginia. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and working together and like really doing something to make people look at us like, okay, if they did, we can do it. You know what I'm saying? So I had to like throw myself out there like, okay, boom. I called a lot of different artists and artists even told me like, I can't really work with the artists, but we got a situation, we got this, this our hoods beeping and we do with the roof. And I had to say, man, I love you putting that put that aside. Now we getting trying to get money. All that extra shit, that shit out the window. This shit is business. That shit is personal shit. So we ain't gonna mix business with personal shit. So I was coming here, I was doing business together, let's make money, let's make some money, let's get to it. So I got a lot of the different artists in the studio together. Work together, and it's a beautiful thing because everybody is coming together. Everybody's saying this shit. Everybody realizing that they can do it. If we can do it and put it together, people can stop their little problems and put their little problems aside and work together. Or you know what I'm saying, to bring some unity in our city, so we can all go up. Because yeah. This part gonna be this. And I'm pretty sure since I did this, somebody else might say, okay, let me lock in with these artists. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's gonna make our city a better thing. It's gonna make our city. You know what I'm saying? Lit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that can bring people together, but money is one of them, huh?
Exactly. And we all share our own personal struggles. So like when let's talk about what we're going through, man. Like, you know me, I like to talk about how I live, what I'm going through. You know, so I like to really put real stories into my music, like so people can feel what I'm talking about, feel what I'm going through, feel what I've been through, you know what I'm saying? So they can understand me more as a person and an artist.
So, sure.
That's basically what the tape is about.
So what are you doing back in LA? Are you you gonna be working on some stuff out here while you're out here?
Yeah, you know, the shit don't stop, you know what I'm saying? People do. So I'm definitely out here still working, still shooting some videos, still making some vlogs, still locking in with some producers, still locking in with some big artists. So that's why I'm back out here.
Nice. So you're gonna be promoting this album for a while? You're gonna be making some videos and making some content for this?
For sure. We're gonna make sure this one do it. 100 million, man. We trying to put this one at the top of the top. This is one of them. This is some legendary. I'm doing. I did some very legendary shit by putting this tape together in my city because it's never been done before. So we got to let the world see this. So we're going to keep pushing this joint.
Yeah, I mean, you're on your way. Ooshwap, I saw, already passed 2 million on Spotify. How's that feel to have a song that has a couple million streams?
Yeah, it feels great because it's notoriety. You know what I'm saying? People tuning in, chiming in, and saying what's really going on.
Yeah.
Listening to, you know.
So after you get the videos done for this, after you do the interviews and you know, have fun promoting this album, what do you think's next for Black Fortune?
I got another project. So I'm keep doing big speeches. Now that I got all my artists to tap in the city and we all did music together, now I'm doing a global thing. Now I'm tapping in with all the artists in your city and in their city and Florida and LA and Chicago. I want to do features with everybody. Tapping with everybody, make some music.
Yeah.
I love music at the end of the day, so I just want to make good music.
100%. So Fortune, you've had a great deal of success so far since a young age. You've been, you know, putting out viral stuff at your viral locally and then viral, you know, nationally and globally. So I'm sure a lot of artists, including people from your hometown, but just everywhere, people in LA and all across the country would like to know, if you had one piece of advice for aspiring artists, what would it be?
And this might sound cliche, but keep going. That might sound very cliche, but I mean that for real. Like I've been doing this since I was 5th and 5th grade. I've been like making music and trying to figure it out since the 5th grade. I'm 24 now, you know what I'm saying? I'm closer to where I want to be in life, so just roll out, keep going, and take your craft serious. You ain't got to do drugs to be great either. That's another thing. A lot of people fight, they got to smoke weed just to go in the studio, pop perks and do drugs to be a good artist. No, you don't got to do that. Let your mind flow on a sober mind, because you're going to be your best when you're at a sober mind. Don't let people think you got to do drugs to be a great artist. People get that. A lot of people get that missed from school. So just keep going. Have a sober mind when you're doing this shit. This is my advice. This is what got me why. Sober mind when you're doing this shit. Know what you're getting yourself into. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a lot of hard work, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of times you're going to go broke. You're going to be up. There's a lot of ups and downs in this shit. So you got to be really willing to go through this. You got to be down. So that's what I have to say.
I think that's great advice. I think image, a lot of times there's a lot of artists who put out the image that they're partying a lot more than they actually are. You know what I mean? It's just part of the image, and partying's great. Partying could be fun, yeah. and celebrating is awesome. But like you said, sometimes, you know, if you want to be on top of your game, you got to, business is business, and get down when you got to get down.
You got to work hard to play, right?
Exactly.